All right, let's get to Connor O'Neill at Connor O'Neill underscore DI because he's not sure. And last night, it was Deacon's Illustrated and Devil's Illustrated. Let's start quickly with Deacon's Illustrated. First loss, you know, so it's not too earth-shattering. What, other than not being able to get a stop and allowing Florida State 87 points, what was the issue last night?
Oh, my God, 20 turnovers.
Yeah.
This team had been really ball secure, too. Like, it's hard to say they had any flaws when they win 9 straight, but I really hadn't seen that level of turnovers from them since their last loss, which was against LSU in the last game of the Charleston tournament. And, you know, the LSU and Florida State, aside from having the 3-letter abbreviations that end with State University, they're both long and athletic, yeah, and they get after you defensively. And if it's going to be a physical game and the whistles are going to be swallowed a little bit, maybe we've kind of found out that's Wake's kryptonite a little bit, and they need to be able to handle the pressure a little better.
Connor O'Neill is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Even with the loss, though, would you say that Wake is maybe a little ahead of the game, knowing that they've got at least one high-level player coming back?
Yeah, I think that it's like I wrote coming out of the Charleston tournament that they had no margin for error. They were 2-3. They had 3 losses to teams that, you know, aren't going to inspire anybody to think they're going to be in the top 20 at the end of the season or anything like that. And they bought themselves some margin of error by winning home games against Florida and Rutgers, by going on the road and winning at BC, by beating Miami over the weekend. Really, it's Wake bought themselves some time, and they could afford a loss like that on the road. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's something to learn from, right? You're either winning or you're learning, and so it's a learning experience for them. And yeah, like they're still 3-1 in the ACC. I think that puts them still in the top 5 of the league. And I think as long as they stay in that top 5 and win the right games, I don't think they'll have much to sweat about on Selection Sunday.
Depending on who you believe, I mean, not that I pay any attention to Joe Lenardi at this point, but the headline grabbed me about UNC, so I did go check it out today. And I saw he had Wake in the first 4. Again, we pay way too close attention to net and brackets in early January. We shouldn't even look at anything until we have gone at least halfway through the conference season. But I do like what I have seen from the Demon Deacons, and it's a long year. There's a lot of games to be played. For the Blue Devils yesterday, your nightcap, Connor O'Neill, you had a busy night. I know John Shire stressed defense, and I'm not trying to minimize the defense. But that game was rendered, unnecessary to watch after halftime because Duke could not miss, it seemed, from three-point range. Now, they've got a lot of guys who can shoot. So, and ultimately, the numbers weren't gaudy. It wasn't like they were 17 of 25. They were 11 of 25. When they shoot like that, are they as unbeatable as they appear?
I think so. When Kyle Filipowski is 11 for 12 and makes all 4 of his 3s, everything else that he does, when you throw in the fact that he's going to shoot over 90% on you, and every time he puts the ball up, it's going in. And I don't know how many teams can answer that in the country. I think it's probably in the single digits. They're playing so well. And watching Pitt lose guys in transition, mm-hmm, over help and leave shooters. Jared McCain doesn't need that much of an opening, and how many shots did he have last night where he was the only one in about a 15 foot radius? That's a lethal combination for this Duke team. It's kind of the opposite of last year. You know, last year they really struggled to get outside shooting until the last stretch of the season. I remember being in the ACC tournament and asking those guys, okay, can you guys actually make threes? Because that changes your ceiling, doesn't it? Well, this team's going to make threes seemingly every game. They're that talented. The law of averages for them is just going to mean that they eventually are going to hit their shots.
So what's the difference between the way they played at Georgia Tech, which was surprising in that it was a tough game. We knew it was going to be a tough game all the way through, and it played out that way. But then Duke had a four-point lead with like 2 minutes to go and couldn't get a stop. So what's the difference between them now and then?
I think what you have to remember about that game in Atlanta was Tyrese Proctor went down a minute and a half into mm-hmm. the game. And I always say it's easier to play a game when you know that you're going to be missing a piece rather than the game that you lose the guy after a short amount of time and you have to adjust on the fly. It's a little easier when you get, you know, three, four, five practices when that guy isn't on the court and you can figure out your roles when the bright lights aren't on. You know, you're figuring out your roles in the practice gym instead of at McCamish Pavilion. John Shire mentioned on the teleconference on Monday, he feels like over the last month or so of the season, they've gotten more together and they've gotten tougher. And we saw that, you know, they grinded out a win at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That was a tough win. And that was something that, you know, they couldn't do that in Atlanta. And that was just what five weeks prior. They've kind of come together. They're not going to get all that much credit for it because none of these teams they're beating are, you know, contenders by any stretch. But, you know, you can only play the schedule that you're set up to play. So they're putting it together while playing who they're playing.
Yeah, and it does appear that the only teams on their schedule are Georgia Tech and Pitt. They play Georgia Tech and Pitt in their next two games, and they'll be done with. I assume that they don't have more games scheduled with Pitt and Georgia Tech, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. They have another weird quirk. In February, they'll play Wake twice in a 12-day span. So it's Pitt twice in an 11-day span, and Wake in February twice in 12 days.
It's like it's an NHL schedule. A little home and home didn't hurt anybody. But you know, you're right about the schedule. But for the Blue Devils, you know, at times offense looked like it was really hard because I mean they still aren't getting necessarily tons of penetration. They did some last night because I think Pitt kind of got, we'll just say, discouraged defensively, because they couldn't stop Duke from knocking down shots. But they, against good defense, and I think we're going to see good defense from both teams tonight in Raleigh, they've had trouble breaking down and getting inside of a defense. Do they need that to be really successful?
I think you need it to open things up, but I think you can also, you don't need to dribble penetrate to be inside the defense. You know, you can put Flip up at the top of the key and he can initiate offense from a point center position, or you can stick him on the low block and get kickouts if teams double him. John Shire talks all the time now about how good of a passer he's become. So I think, and Jeremy Roach, I would say is their one guy that you can kind of count on to penetrate. And he's got he's a senior guard. So he's got that bag of tricks that he can get shots up. We've seen him, it goes unnoticed, but he has become more explosive as an athlete in his 4 years at Duke. And that has to do with him blowing out an ACL in high school and kind of having to redefine his body and kind of regain his athleticism over the last few years. But yeah, I think you want penetration, but I think Duke has other ways that they can get the ball inside and then work it to the outside.
Should be fun to watch this continue to progress, and I can't wait. You want to pick tonight's game, even though it's not necessarily on your beat, the Tar Heels and the Wolfpack in Raleigh?
I love picking games that don't have anything to do with my team. Those are the games that I want to pick.
All right.
I don't want to tell you who's going to win the Saturday games that I have to cover, but yeah, I would go with the home team. In a previous job, I covered a few Carolina State games in Raleigh. I know that place gets louder for this game than just about any other game.
Yep.
And I would seriously lean on how good of a home environment that will be.
Should be fun. I think State, while they don't necessarily have any great players, I think they have a lot of good players. And
this is the ultimate test, man. I told somebody the other day they wanted me to say whether State was good, and I was like, I need 3 weeks to make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have the pieces. It all depends on whether or not they can come together. I think they have a lot of really good players. And I want to see Kevin. I'd love to see Kevin Keats, like, crank up some pressure on North Carolina to see how the Tar Heels handle that. But I think North Carolina's defense has been dynamite. What they did at Clemson was really, really special. Connor O'Neill, yeah. At Connor O'Neill _DI, Devils Illustrated, Deacons Illustrated, you decide. Appreciate your time, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Victoria.
That's Victoria. He thanked you.
Well, thanks, all Connor. Right, here we go. haven't talked to you all year. See, we already did this on the phone.
Gosh. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.